Hola, bienvenidas a Córdoba. Este es el podcast de Lost Dots 101.
Hi, and welcome to the Lost Dot 101 podcast, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. This episode has more binaural recordings, so get some headphones on and enjoy. Today, our podium is complete. You join us on the fourth day at our finish line in Córdoba at the cycling hub Revolucionar, where race reporter Aflin sets the scene awaiting our riders at the end of their rides.
Hey, Aflin here. I'm just walking through the sunny streets of Córdoba. It's a really, really lovely evening and feels like such relief after so many days of rain to finally be in the warmth. It's about 25 degrees and we're watching all of the riders come through to the finish line in shorts and t-shirts after so many days of being really, seeing everyone really chilly and wrapped up in the mountains. People who are coming in are kind of saying how much of a shock to the system it is after riding in the mountains and being kind of on your own for 2, 3, 4 days to suddenly arrive back in this feisty Andalusian town with lots of amazing flamenco music and clapping and different smells and sounds, and also having to be in the traffic of, you know, waiting at stop signs and things like that.
After Anna Richter's victory last night, this morning saw our other podium riders arriving into Córdoba. Second home and first woman was Amrei Kuna, who had sped through the course looking serene for most of the ride, despite a crash just before control point one, an exploding GPS, and of course, the grim conditions the whole field has faced. Here's Amrei at the finish line, speaking to Aflin and race director Hannah.
Just before the ride, so it would be nice to have one just after the ride.
You've been struggling a bit with your stomach on the way.
I threw up once, and since then it was just difficult to find the right kind of food. I could stick with sweet stuff, but like yesterday I managed to eat like a bocadillo.
Okay.
But before that I didn't really have anything other than sweet and disgusting stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What kept you going this whole time?
Probably the finish line.
Where you fell?
Yeah.
Was it on a descent in the trees? Do you remember?
It's all the trees around there.
It was just after, like, 5 minutes after those pictures were taken. But yeah, it was really steep, and I thought I could trust the new tires. I think the climb kind of destroyed my knees yesterday. Like, I can feel them that a bit, like, hurting.
Is that the climb up before Guadalupe?
That was the Pico...
Viluercas?
Viluercas.
Yeah.
Yes.
The big switchbacks.
There were no switchbacks.
Oh, no switchbacks.
Well, it looked like switchback, but it was just like... What was the mean inclination? Maybe 15%? It's always funny because I don't really look at the tracker so much, and then they're like, have you looked at the tracker? And I'm like, no, am I supposed to? And then I check in the evening and I'm like,
oh. You just know that if someone's asking you if you've looked at the tracker, then you're probably doing quite well.
At what point did you kind of not see anyone else?
I think when I overtook Nikki on the climb.
Okay, so quite a long way away.
When did you know you were in second place?
I think as of then.
Because you knew that Nikki was second to CP2.
Yeah. I think I must have checked the tracker then. The start was a bit unlucky, but then it got better.
I can see on your rims, it says Brummy.
That's my nickname.
Look.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
How do you say it?
Brummy. It's my nickname because I'm like a car, but I'm not a car. And in German, like, kids say brum brum to a car. Yeah.
And what are you going to do now? You're going to find a shower somewhere?
Yes, find a shower and get some food. I haven't really had proper food, so I'm really aching for good food.
Third place went to Elise Sauvigné, who was enjoying the beer that she'd been dreaming of yesterday.
I really wanted to enjoy on the bike because I had issues enduring long ride on the bike lately, so I wanted to have that back, and I was so excited to be part of it, to be part of the Flintar ride. And then I was not looking at the tracker or anything, and then I received message on the, I think the second day, message from friend in Paris, oh, you're so good in ranking. And so I got mental and I started looking at the tracker like heavily, and then I get back in my bubble and just focused. And this morning when I woke up, I saw that I was able to do less than 4 days and be on the podium, so I just, yeah.
Some of the riders at the back have been saying that they think everyone at the front is a professional. Do you feel like a professional?
No, I'm proven. That's so funny. No. I'm not a professional at all. I'm leisuring, no?
How would you describe yourself then, in the ultra scene?
Outsiders, no? But I like to be like the outsider. It's kind of cool, no, to be the outsider and to be on the podium still.
Race coming up this year.
Yeah, but you know, during this race, I changed my mind like 36 times about the TCR.
You're doing TCR?
Yeah, well, 2 hours ago, no. 4 hours ago, yes, so, yeah. The thing is, with short races are sometimes harder because you sleep less and more hours on the saddle, so...
Unfortunately, at the finish line, two of the top 10 riders, Nikki Shaw and Megan Young, were given a disqualification after they were found to have ridden on illegal roads. Our rider communications manager, Andy Dodd, explains our rules, investigation process and reasoning behind these disqualifications.
At Lost Dot, we have a team of race monitors. They're volunteers at home who watch a number of riders throughout the course of the race. And their job is just to sort of check in with me and the comms manager, give a daily update of how the riders are doing. And that information is fed really from the dots on the map, but also social media if riders are using that to document their race. We've got a few processes behind the scenes. So a race monitor will capture sort of daily reports and capture any anomalies within that. So maybe safety concerns or rule concerns. And one of those rule concerns might be like riding on banned or illegal roads. Or it might also be from a safety point of view. So if a rider's been stationary for a little while and maybe in a more remote region, then we might just check in with them and make sure that they're okay. When one of these sort of concerns is raised, we launch an inquiry. We have another team called Race Investigators that then take on these inquiries that we make about the riders and just investigate them. So looking into GPX files that the riders have uploaded, looking into social media, etc., just to try and get a better idea of what that infringement might have been or what the safety concerns there. And then that's passed on to the race team itself, who can then make a better informed decision on the outcome of that ruling. An example during this race has been motorways. We've had a couple of riders riding on sections of illegal road, and that was flagged to me by one of our race monitors. I launched that inquiry and got the race investigation team to look into that. We use a number of tools such as open source mapping to just verify that is a motorway. We use Google Street View to check signage and confirm the road sort of status or classification. We also sent out Control Car 2 to go and have a look at the point on the map just to verify that it is a motorway, like well signed, and what the rider might be going through at that time. We also consider sort of like sleep or fatigue, time of day, whether the signage was being illuminated, and just road infrastructure in general. And then based on that, whether it's obvious or not, we might then choose to send out a warning to other riders, which is what we have done in this case. A warning goes out via the race announcement, WhatsApp and email, just to inform riders about the rules of the race, but also just to try and keep our riders safe by bringing to their attention the illegal roads.
Athlin caught up with Cap 22 Megan Young, who was incredibly philosophical about their DQ.
How was it all?
It was really good. Apart from, so at the beginning, I had a puncture, and that took me quite a long time to try and Well, it didn't take me that long, but it took me probably like 2 hours to fix. And then what else did I do? And then I had another puncture on a different tire. And then I ended up cycling on a main road. So unfortunately, that does mean that I've been disqualified. But for me, getting to the end was the main goal, so that's good.
I'm so glad you were riding so strong throughout the whole thing.
I was such an idiot. I had it on my like route planner, and I even like at the beginning of the road, I like looked at the sign and I was like, oh no, that just means that cars need to be cautious of bikes. And so I was like, oh, and because in Portugal they had like the, you know, they have the circle with a line through it, and so I was like, well, it's not that, but that's because we're in Spain.
Okay.
Such an idiot. But it's not tricky, it was very obvious. And then I got on and then I was like, oh no, this is not right. And then I couldn't like turn around because it was more dangerous, so I just went off at the next junction. But I realised Hannah told me that I did it twice, so I didn't even notice that. Yeah, to be honest, I was just glad to have got through. Because on the first day when all the punctures were happening, I was like, oh no, I'm not even going to make it like all the way, you know, along the course.
Some of the like the newer riders at the back who haven't done ultras before were saying that they thought everyone at the front was a professional. Do you feel like a professional?
Definitely not. With all the mistakes I made, I would quite like to see actually like the different people's routes, because I think the first section, I don't know what the heck I did, but I ended up on like some random gravel. I honestly thought that I'd planned the routes quite well, but obviously not. Obviously, I haven't planned them at all. Just A to B. Yep, that's fine.
Was there, because this is like, you know, it's this 101 for ultra distance. Have you had any 101 moments of learning? Sounds like you might have had a few.
Yeah, definitely. Be more meticulous about planning. And I think it is just about details and like looking after yourself a bit more.
Nice. Oh, well, well done. I mean, still an amazing ride.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Let's head back into the field with Control Car 2 and Sophie Potter, who was poised and waiting at the Mirador del Portillo viewpoint at the top of Parcours C for riders who would actually stop.
I'm sitting at the end of Parcours C, waiting for the riders to arrive, and I jumped on my feet because I could see someone coming from far, but then I realised it was just a man on a e-bike.
At the end of the parkour, riders were faced with a choice. They could either continue on a shorter route with more climbing or descend back down the long mountainous climb that they had just spent hours coming up and take a longer but much flatter route. With many riders carrying on in a hurry, Jessica Notzinger, Cap 64, paused to chat.
I'm great. That was beautiful. That was stunning. Absolutely beautiful. All the way through the valley was gorgeous. That mountain is amazing. I mean, it killed me. But yeah, I took a different route to everybody else. I went to a place called Cidade Rodrigo. Everyone else went south and I went north. And I was like, oh, I've made a massive mistake. And this morning, I was cycling into clouds and I went up a hill and I hit the top of the ridge from Cidade Rodrigo. And it was unbelievably stunning. I had the best descent down to join that valley road. It was incredible. Like, it was the best morning of riding I think I've ever done. It's like 7k of no cars, switchbacks, stunning. Anyway.
So it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, the 800 and something k has been worth it so far. Yeah, I'm dying.
But you're doing great for dying, huh?
Oh, I'm not like... Is she going back down, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, she's going that way. I'm going that way. Again, I feel like I made another mistake. This is, again, another mistake I probably made right here.
That's...
I mean, we'll
figure
it out
later. Different strategy.
Yeah, very much so.
You said you're not the best climber.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. Like, I'm the person that gets left behind in the group. If the group's going uphill, I'm the last person. So, I can go downhill fast though. And the descents have been like out of this world. Coming off the Torre Estrella?
Yeah.
Coming off that yesterday, it's like 30k of the most beautiful downhill. People have put effort into this. I kind of want everyone to do their best and like smash it. I don't really care where I finish, just want to enjoy myself and see everyone else do really, really well.
Cap 120, Ida Bercher, also stopped and was feeling pretty proud of herself, taking each kilometre as a win.
So you won, like, we are at the end of Parkour 3, so you can either go down here or turn around.
Yes.
Depends on the route you choose.
I trust on my decision I made back then.
Yeah. How do you feel about it?
I wasn't feeling so well on Sunday. Also, my throat is like a bit coughing, but it gets better. And yeah, I started with like the mindset of I just try it and every kilometer I do is a win. So I'm quite proud that I made it here. And now I really want to finish because the rain like really pushed me that I was like, no, I can't stop.
It's not rain.
Now I want to get to Cordoba.
It's day 4 on the 101, which means for riders, it's also the fourth day of very little sleep, riding huge kilometres and living out in the elements. So what is it that keeps riders motivated and people moving? Larissa Unsin finished today, claiming fourth place in Cordoba. She told Aflin how knowing that her family were waiting at the finish line had kept her going.
So how does it feel when you've arrived?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm super heavy, I made it, and yeah, today was just fun. The weather was so good, my legs were, great today.
Amazing, you were through, it looked like you really made up a lot of time.
Today was great, just fun.
Do you feel, what's it like having family at the end?
Yeah, it was a good reason to keep on, especially... Yeah, you asked me on the top of the mountain, I remember, and then when I went down, I thought, oh yeah, that's the point. My family is waiting here, so yeah.
And we're asking everyone what their kind of 101 learning moment is.
My route planning, definitely this one. Sometimes it was really, a mess.
Did you get lost?
Yeah, right after checkpoint 2. I was completely in the nowhere. Yeah.
Nice. Well, you made it in very good time.
Yeah, I'm happy.
After so many hours of riding, and especially in the wet and cold, saddle sores are sadly becoming a real problem for many. One rider who's found a novel way of dealing with this is Cap 125, Marianne Machner.
I woke up to a flat tire.
Oh no!
In the hotel. And it was kind of a struggle to put it on. And now I have no spare, which is a little nerve-wracking because the next bike shop is like, 100 kilometers. I hope I make it there, buy some new tubes and then I can go on.
Do you have any tips to give?
Yeah, I mean, I'm riding with two bibs and I bought sponges at the supermarket and put it in between. So now I'm sitting like, a few centimeters up. It works, it's not very comfortable, but it makes the pain bearable. So,
Here's Suzanne Heidecker, Cap 115, whose pals were keeping her moving with a surprisingly laid-back curated playlist.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, and you?
Thank you for asking. Good. Somehow on my ride with GPS, I thought like, oh god, this looks so steep tomorrow morning. It's going to be horrible. But then you start and you go like tick, tick, tick. And then at some point you're just up there, which is really nice.
What music are you listening to?
It's a playlist made by my friends. I have a little WhatsApp group of dot watchers and I made them like a shared playlist. Everybody's dropping their songs. So right now it's some Bob Marley song. It's a wild mix, you know. So like right now it was actually kind of nice. We could just come over the top and suddenly see the sun. But sometimes also like some trance music or whatever, some hip-hop, whatever. It's a really cute playlist because you usually like you don't share so much the music you listen to and stuff. And I was like, just drop whatever you think like makes you feel, what you think like makes me feel pushing harder or maybe be sad on the bike and just like keep going and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, you're doing great.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Ay, she's going down here without gloves. Ooh.
Ah. Here's cap 123, Lydia Trott. Lydia had brought not only a very thoroughly researched cue sheet, but also had some really beautiful mantras that were keeping her moving.
So what did you pin?
It's basically like a little like cue sheet. So it'll tell me the segment mile, the overall route mile, the town, and then I have a little description like if I can find water or there's groceries, gas stations, restaurants, hotels, and then how far it is to the next cue or the next town that I could find stuff in, and then the elevation as well.
So in case your phone or GPS work, it's also back.
I wanted a more of a visual, and yeah, in case my phone died, but so then I could look and say like, okay, like I need to make it to this place by this time or so.
You can prepare that.
Yeah, and then I guess you might want to see this. I put my little mantras.
Can you read some of your mantra?
Sure. You earned your dot, you belong. My race, my pace. Little circles, big results. Soft face, strong legs. And the sun always comes up. And I'm a finisher. Pain is just a passenger.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I would say the one I've been saying the most is little circle, big results, because I'm a slow climber. And then you earned your dot, you belong. Now I'm going to cry.
I'm actually glad I'm wearing my sunglasses at the moment.
So, I'll make it to the finish.
Yeah, you will.
The world of ultra cycling. For people outside of this world who've never done this kind of racing, here are a few sentences heard today that probably summarize ultra-distance cycling quite well. 3 days without properly sitting down for a real meal, just snacks. I went to bed early at 10 p.m. to wake up early at 1 a.m. But maybe the sentence that summarized everything best came from my very good friend Jeanne Lepoix, Cap 86, putting chamois cream on while eating sardines in tomato sauce on the side of a road somewhere in Spain. This is the life I choose to live.
One of my favourite things about long-distance cycling is the places that your mind wanders to on a really long day on the bike. Cap 45, Emily Bei Cheng told us just how far her mind had wandered on the 101.
Why do you need energy?
I'm so sleepy. The noontime fatigue is hitting hard.
What do you do to fight it?
I think about the people I love, which is a little cheesy, but I actually do that. And I've been playing a little game that I came up with, where yesterday I was riding from Spain. Wait, no, I'm getting so confused. From Portugal back through Spain, through the border. And I hadn't seen anyone in 10 hours. And I was riding through this really quiet landscape, and I was imagining I was riding inside someone's head. Like, if someone's mind were a landscape, what would it look like? And then I started thinking, okay, like every landscape I'm riding through, what kind of person could it represent? And then also for the people I love, like my family and friends, what would the landscapes of their minds look like? So I've been thinking a lot about that, which is very abstract, but I think it's also because I'm sleepy, so I'm just thinking these kind of daydreaming thoughts. But I think in some ways yesterday it really moved me because the landscape was so peaceful. There were these birds singing in the afternoon and there was sunlight leaking through the oak trees. It feels good. I was getting so sleepy, but I think this imaginary game I'm playing, like yesterday, just riding through the oak trees, the birds, and these dark storm clouds ahead, it made me really think of my mom, I think, and the inside of her mind when she was younger. And I think I was just in this whole different state thinking about every landscape I've ridden through and what person it represents. So I think that's really kept me engaged.
Yeah.
I think with the people I care about back home, but then also with this landscape. I know it's really abstract. My mind has just gone somewhere without any sort of medication. It's just the writing. But I hope that makes some sense.
You high on writing.
I know, I am.
But it's a good sensation.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
Time for the recap of the day. Today in Contre Encore number 2, we spent the day around the Parcours C, welcoming riders telling us it was the best day since the start. I think waking up with the sun definitely helped. One rider also told me that you only had to look at her to understand that she was not the skinniest cyclist in the world and that she was usually drops on climbs, so it made me think about the bodies of our riders. And honestly, that is one of the things I find absolutely wonderful about ultra-distance racing compared to many other sports and even other cycling disciplines, because everybody's out there, different body types, different sizes, big boobs, small boobs, no boobs, different strengths, and that is why representation matters so much. The beauty of this sport is that even if you're not the fastest pedaling uphill, you can always make up time somewhere else, being efficient during stops, managing sleep, eating quickly, fixing problems fast. I think it's called multitasking, and something many mothers out there already know a thing or two about. Cap 28, Francisca Schoni gave a good advice today: do as much as possible while riding. Although she admitted she has not yet reached the level of brushing her teeth on the bike, but who knows, there is still 2 days left in the race for her, so... Fashion moment.
Balenciaga, H&M, Balenciaga, H&M.
Today, fashion moment is unfortunately about my own fashion faux pas. I generally believe Birkenstock wear an acceptable race reporter shoe. A terrible mistake considering you all decided to fly up the long climb of Parcours C while I was trying to run next to you on your bike holding a microphone. And let me tell you, the famous, extremely comfortable Birkenstock are not built for uphill sprint intervals. But do not worry, tomorrow I'm upgrading to actual running shoes because I have seen it in every race I've done. In the last kilometers, riders suddenly discover a mysterious final reserve of energy. I used to call it Godspeed.
I'll never tell. You know you love me. XOXO.
Gossip Girl. On the internet today, Annie Aspin, Cap 6, shared philosophical moments after encountering a fox at a gas station somewhere in Spain in the night. A fox that did not seem very remotely impressed or concerned by this very tired cyclist surviving on snacks. Shortly after, she wrote, "What a privilege it is to be tired from riding all day." Word worth remembering, pronounced while eating chips under neon lights. Today, on day 4, our comms manager Andy announced that we have now reached 40 scratches. There are many reasons why riders scratch: mechanics, exhaustion, health in general as well. So how do you know when enough is enough? That is a question everyone has to answer for themselves. There is no right or wrong answer, no failure, no success, definitely no judgment. We all have our reasons to be here and we all have our reasons to stop. And the good news is that everyone is welcome at the finisher party inside, GC or not. So make sure you can still dance and don't be late. Tonight, 7 riders are enjoying cerveza at the finish and tomorrow many more will join. So, if it feels long out there, remember what a privilege it is to be tired from riding all day. That's it for tonight. Don't forget to brush your teeth. Good night and good ride, everyone.